Good to be here this evening, brother. Those that were able to be here with us this evening. I do this about every time I think I get up. I just sometimes find myself amazed at how things work. You know, as I was studying, as I was trying to find what it was that the Lord was wanting me to preach tonight, I hadn't had anything come up on me, and this morning I had gotten up and I was sitting there once again, flipping through, seeing if there's anything that just struck me just right, that, you know, said, brother, this is where I need you to go, and started to get worried a little bit. I thought, you know, you always come through for me, Lord. You always have. Every time that I've stood, you've always given me what to preach. And you know, as I was flipping through today, I come across some scripture that struck me. And Sunday school just confirmed it, and I love it when it happens that way, you know. And so I was able to go home today and not really have to give too much thought on it, because if I give too much thought on it, I know I can make a mess of things in a hurry. So I just kind of left it alone, let the Lord lead tonight and guide, and that's what I look for, you know. I can be the worst to doubt myself and be hard on myself. There's many times, I don't know if any of you ever feel this way, some of you preachers in here, and there's a lot of times, a whole lot of times that I just look up and say, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And I go through that very, very often. I know I certainly couldn't stand without the help of the Lord, and just so thankful that He's always given me what I need, and I wouldn't have it any other way than to do it through the Holy Spirit of God, and not of anything that I can do myself. Going to try to bring you a word tonight, and you know, it's nothing new. It's nothing that we don't already know, that you don't already know, but you know, we'll once again bring the word, bring it to remembrance. There may obviously be a reason for it at some point in time. May not be tonight, may be for down the road. Anyway, we'll get on into it in 1 Timothy in chapter 6 is where I'll be reading from. Y'all pray for me tonight. I find it more difficult to preach to a smaller crowd than a larger crowd. A larger crowd scares me to death, but a small crowd, just for me, it's hard to preach to. And I don't know why. I try not to think about it, me and my brother, we used to do some bow fishing. While you're turning there, 1 Timothy chapter 6, me and my brother, I used to bow fish. He used to go with me. And, you know, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if he had to. Bow fishing, as you know, you go in there and you're shooting carp and whatnot. And we did it off a little platform I'd built in front of Dad's boat. He would set and control the motor for me, and I would shoot over his head. And it worked out real well. And except for the few times that he didn't see the rocks in the water, and I went for a swim. But that did happen a few times, but praise God, nobody got hurt. But anyway, every now and then, after I had slayed 20, 30, 40 fish, I'd sit down and take a break and let him shoot. And bless his heart, like I said, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So what we did was we waited till there's a big school of them together, and I said, just shoot in that general area. He liables to get one. And that's kind of how I feel sometimes, I guess, preaching to a small crowd versus a large crowd. It's nerve-wracking, but a large crowd, to me, it just takes some pressure off. And I'm sure it took a lot of pressure off him when he could shoot into a whole bunch of fish, and hopefully at least strike one of them. But that's just something that I guess we deal with in different ways. But tonight in 1 Timothy in chapter 6, I'm going to be reading in verse 6. Just a couple of verses. It says in verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, says, "For godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Now, I'm going to stop reading right there. You know, there's a whole lot to be said in just those few verses right there. The contentment, godliness with contentment is great gain. And Certainly, we live in a world today where the world is hungry. They're after everything that they can get their hands on, and unfortunately, not everything is good for the soul. But nevertheless, what I guess I would have is to keep in mind tonight that the things it seems that we're content with, we shouldn't be content with, and the things that we're not content with, it's those things that we need to be content with. As I was thinking about this message and thinking about the Word and thinking about being content tonight, you know, I got to thinking back about John the Baptist, you know, and how he come, preparing the way for the Lord, preaching and baptizing. I remember that, you know, it said that John had camel's hair for raiment and a leather girdle, and his food was locust and wild honey. And I don't know about you, but John the Baptist to me seemed to be pretty content. He didn't have all the fine things of the world. He had what he had. He had clothing and he had food. And he went serving the Lord, and he seemed to be very pretty content from what I see and what I read. But you know, there's many people in the Bible, though, and we could probably talk for hours and hours about people who weren't content. There's one that comes to my mind right off the bat. There was a rich young ruler who come having obviously great wealth and great possessions. He asked the Lord, said, "What good thing do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "Just keep the commandments." And as you know, the story is, he asked him which one. And then the Lord went through telling him all the commandments, which there shouldn't have been a question in my mind, but however, he told him to keep all these commandments. He says, "I've done these things from my youth up. What do I lack?" And the Lord told him, said, "Go and sell all your possessions and follow me." Right. And it says that the rich young ruler turned away sad, for he had great possessions.
Right.
You know, he was not content to be without what he had. And right. You know, I thinking about him, I wonder tonight if someone come unto you or come unto me. I know what my answer is tonight, but this is between you and the Lord. But if someone come to you tonight and said, "You are to give up everything that you have except the clothing on your back, and food will be provided," hey, would you gladly do it, praising the name of the Lord tonight? Hey, I'm not going to raise my hand because I'd whine and probably cry and stub my toe and everything else about it. Hey, because I here had a breakdown over a cell phone going dead on me yesterday. Hey, we was talking about how the children, 10-year-old said they'd die without the internet. Hey, people aren't content in the world today. Hey, we're supposed to be so content in the Lord, that we can be happy with the clothes on our back, and food in our belly. Hey, but unfortunately, we're running wild with the world. Trying to keep up with things of the world, and none of us truly, if we're being honest, would be truly okay and satisfied if we lost it all tonight.
Yeah,
let's just be honest about it tonight. And it's not just us, it's everybody in the world. Everybody's in the same boat, because we said that in order to live in this world, you got to have the things that are in the world. You got to keep up with the technology in the world.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something, if it was all gone tonight, there'd be a lot of people with their head a dragon, but I tell you what, if we're rich in the Lord, if we're grounded and truly grounded in the Word, and God resides in our heart, and we truly look to please Him, and our faith and trust is in Him, we should be happy people to have clothes on our back and food in our belly, because we know the Lord will provide that.
Amen.
The Lord will provide that.
Bless Him, Lord.
I was thinking about Ananias and what's her name? Sapphira, isn't it? Sapphira. Yeah. You know, in the book of Acts, you know, they departed the group. They were supposed to go sell all their possessions and bring all the money that they got from it, and it was all pooled together with everybody's money, and then it was distributed to each man according to needs, right? And if you remember, they held back. They held back a portion of what they had earned from selling their possessions.
Right.
And if you recall what happened in that, when Ananias was confronted about it, not only had he committed the offense, but he also lied about it, and then therefore was struck dead. Lost his life because of the wickedness of his heart. And then it wasn't too long after that, shortly after that, his wife, not knowing what had befell her husband, she came, and once she was approached as well, confronted about the situation. And what did she do? The same thing. She lied about having kept back a portion of what they had received. And she too met the same fate right. of her husband. Now, you know, folks, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Sin leads to death.
Yeah.
You know that rich young ruler, when he turned and walked away, sad, all that said to me was he was unwilling to give up what he had.
Right.
His whole life revolved around his possessions, and to have them, he would be nothing and he would have nothing. Well, friend, he found out what nothing really was like in this walk of life. Ananias and his wife, they found out exactly what it was. They lost a whole lot when they left this walk of life in the state that they were in. You know, when I think about contentment, I had to do a little soul searching myself. The older I've gotten, and I know I just had a birthday, the older I've gotten, the more content I find myself. The more that I find myself looking around at the things that I do have and ashamed because there's a day that I probably done about anything to have. Couldn't live without it. I think, I can't get this 10-year-old off my mind. I'd die if I didn't have the internet. You know, there's a time I'm sure that I felt that I'd die if I didn't have that. I'd die if I didn't have this. I couldn't live without that. It's a sad shape to be in. But that's where we are. That's the world we live in now. We get the new phone. A month later, there's a new model. And we're already looking at it, wanting it. Never content. Never content. The world is never content. Sad situation on the news this week. I know you heard about it. Over in Shanghai, a place a long ways away from here. Hey, they were all gathered together down there to celebrate the new year. Hey, it says they were all in the area down there in downtown. It says that they was somebody, hey, up from a window up on top of a hotel or whatever, hey, threw out, hey, a bunch of things that appeared to be dollar bills, turned out to be coupons, hey, that looked like dollar bills, so therefore, hey, the crowd stampeded after the money, hey, took the lives of 30-something people, trampled them to death right there on the streets, hey, for coupons. That's the world we live in, uncontent, uncontent. Looking for the next thing they can get their hands on. Uncontent. What a shame. I thought, what a shame. Broke my heart to think that people were trampled and stomped to death over coupons. Over coupons. You know, every day we live. And it's easy to get caught up. It's easy to get caught up. With our possessions. It's easy to get caught up with the things that we have. Folks, I don't know about you, but I just want to be content with the Lord. I want to reach that place in my life. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for the things the Lord has provided. You should be thankful for the things that the Lord has provided you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the things that the Lord has provided you. But the world has really gotten messed up with what's needful. And what's just plain fleshly desires, wants. You know, I'm going to pick on that. You made a comment about being in a cave today. And that if you was in that cave and you lived in that cave and you had food, you had what you needed to survive, you wouldn't be doing anything to help the world. I mean, you know, you're living a cut off life from the world. And that's what got me to thinking about John the Baptist. That was kind of the way John the Baptist was. I mean, in a sense, he was cut off from the world because he secluded himself. All he needed was his clothing. He was clothed, and he had food for his belly, and he served the Lord. And he wasn't taking part in the other things. As far as I know, he wasn't taking part in any of the other things that were going on in the world. He was preaching the word. And that made me think about him. And I think, you know, that's the kind of contentment I want. Mm-hmm. I want that kind of contentment where Well, I could praise the Lord if I lose this tomorrow or lose that tomorrow. You know, our uncontentment gets us in such a bind, in such a hole. I think about all the people who, their uncontentment with their home to have a bigger home. Hey, you know, and then they find themselves not being able to make the bills because their house payment's so high. Hey, or the one that's got to have a nice ride. Hey, and it takes everything he's got to make that vehicle payment, but and then he finds out that there's nothing left over from when that vehicle breaks down to fix that. Hey, we find excuses and reasons to justify why we make the decisions to go after the things of this world and the things that are out there, rather than saying, Lord, just provide to me what it is that I stand in need of. Hey, I trust it in you. Hey, we go after our heart's desires. Hey, we go after what the flesh wants. Hey, our eyes see, and we gotta have it. Hey, the next newest model, the next newest thing. Hey, I know I'm preaching on worldly possessions. Hey, tonight, but you know what? Hey, they're not all good for you. Hey, you know what? Hey, we've seen how technology can be used, hey, for a wonderful, wonderful thing. Praise God. Hey, our brother was able to be a part of a service today. He wasn't here physically, but praise the Lord, he heard the word. Hey, that's through technology. Hey, I'm not knocking technology. Hey, it's a good thing that we got technology. Hey, I praise God for technology. Hey, it makes life easier. Hey, but a lot of times, hey, when it makes life easier, hey, we get ourselves in a lot deeper pits because of it. Go figure. You know, I think, praise God, we got a microwave. Hey, I can put food in that microwave and hit a button. Hey, what would have probably took me 45 minutes? Hey, the fish, I can fix it in about 5. Hey, give me more time to get in God's Word. Hey, but praise God, that ain't what happens. Is it? I got more time. Hey, I got more time to pray. Hey, praise God, I got more time to study. I got more time to call somebody up. Hey, and see how they're doing. Check on them, go visit them. Hey, but that doesn't happen, does it?
No. No.
No, it just gives me more time to get involved in something else. To waste more time.
Look,
amen. And I'm preaching on me tonight. I'm preaching on anybody preaching on me. Preaching on the world. The world's in that shape. You know, I want to find that place of contentment where I can just be happy that God has provided me with some clothing to cover my naked body. Provided me with some food to fill my belly. And be happy with that. Be happy with that. And not live a life where I'm constantly wanting the next best thing. Things that I know aren't going to be any good. What I have that works, be happy with it.
Right.
But we're always wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting bigger.
Right.
Wanting better. And it gets out of hand. And it's when it gets out of hand.
There you go. That's the problem.
Having things is great. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Rich young ruler wasn't nothing wrong with the fact that he had obtained great wealth. It was the fact that it was his life.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't live without it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the things of this world to stand in the way of me and my Lord and Savior. I don't. I don't want it to stand in the way of me making it to heaven. And it's easy to let things in this world get in the way, stand in the way, hinder you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've got a whole lot left to say about it. You know, we know the shape the world's in. We know the shape that we as individuals are in. It's something personal between us and the Lord. And, you know, I want to strive to be more content with the things that God has provided me with. But the one thing I don't want to ever do is just be content spiritually.
Right.
I want to always be uncontent spiritually. I want to always desire more, to hunger
right.
and to thirst. You know, the Bible says we came into this world with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We came literally with nothing, no clothes, nothing. We came in here bare, and we'll go we're out of this world with nothing. We can't take anything we have together.
Right.
You know, that brings it up sometimes when we're talking, discussing things. He talks about that day you forgot your guitar, and I said, "Well, Eric, you use mine." And you're like, "Really?" Like, that was a shock. I said, "Hey, man, it's just going to burn one of these days." You know, it's just a thing. It's just a thing. But, man, people take those things like that and put them up on a pedestal and basically worship them, you know. It's just a thing. My home is just a thing. I think about them boys in Acts and all of them coming together, selling all their possessions. Nobody claimed anything to be theirs. They sold it all. Put the money all together and gave to each as their need was. Oh, what kind of world would that be? Huh? What kind of world? Talking about one mind, one accord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. It's not that way. Can't be that way in this world. So to bring your remembrance to you tonight, be content. Be content, for that contentment is great gain. That contentment is great gain. Hey, nothing matters more in this world tonight than you and I making it over to the other side.
Amen, brother.
Spending eternity with the Lord, because everything we possess, all the money, all the worldly possessions, all that stuff's gone. It's going to go away. It means nothing. If you and I leave this walk of life tonight, everything we've, all the sweat, blood, and tears that it took to attain some of those things, what's it going to matter tomorrow?
Right.
No, but for a lot of people, it's coming in between them and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's keep that in mind. Yeah. That we don't fall into the snares or the trap of being uncontent. Mm-hmm. Wanting more, wanting bigger, wanting better. Just be content with what the Lord provides. What's needful. I wished I could say that it's possible that there could come a day that I could lose everything except the clothes on my back and praise God through it all. I desire to. I want to be that kind of person. I want it to not hurt me, but let's just face it, folks. Hey, when you've been used to having the phone you pick up all day long and it's all of a sudden gone.
Yeah.
We're the creatures we are, ain't we? We're the creatures we are. You come accustomed to something and it's hard to let it go. It's hard to get past. I've done pretty good letting go of that thing. Anyway, listen, I love you tonight. I'd ask everyone to go ahead and stand there and get a song. If anyone does have a need to